100 Word Stories.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Dr. Me. Oh, hi, this is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. It's Sunday, and you know what that means. Do you? Do you really? Let's make this a quiz. What does Sunday mean? Okay, have you written down your answer? It means that it's time for the weekly challenge, where I post a topic, you come up with the story, I gather them all up together in this Audacity program thing, and I post them and type a lot and blah blah blah. Sometimes I bitch, but at least I stand for the national anthem, okay? The last time I was at a sporting event for the national anthem, it was at Safeco on Wednesday. My foot hurt, my hip hurt, my arm hurt. I tripped on First Avenue outside the market, that Pike's Market where they throw the fish. They didn't throw the bunny, though. But, man, I was hurting. And yet I had the strength to walk through the art museum. And then I went to the ball game standing in the tram. That hurt. And I'm walking all the way to the frickin' stadium from the tram stop, having to go up and down stairs. Yeah, I'm going to use the elevator one day when I'm 90. And then you have to walk up and down stairs within the stadium because it's at street level. Pure genius. So you have to go up steps again. And what did I do from there? I'm standing there, and the national anthem is playing. And I took off my freaking hat. Okay, I may have leaned on the rail, but I still stood up. Okay? I don't know why we play the national anthem at sporting events. I really don't. I don't understand what the whole... I mean, it just... Okay, sure, why not? Where did the tradition begin? And, you know, is it time to end traditions and maybe we ought to play, hey, you want some football? And have some chick in front of the Sunday night football, whatever. I don't know. Or who is that guy? Hank Williams Jr. or something? Hank Williams? Whatever. But if it doesn't make sense, then don't do it. But don't get in this middle ground where it's like, I'm more patriotic than you. I am in flag drag. We are dropping balloons of red, white, and blue. True patriotism is doing the right thing and solving problems and making the country better. But then again, a guy who's making $114 million in a mansion with bodyguards who are armed and all that, bitching about people getting gunned down. I'm not going to get into, you know, his genetic or how he was raised or any of that stuff. You can stand for something and still not be a part of it. And yet some people will say, well, you know, you never lived it, so you never, you know, understood it. Whatever. Now you get into those kind of debates where, yeah, you can't have sympathy for someone unless you've lived through it. Or you can't have an understanding of it. A true understanding of it. And now you get into all those arguments. How do you solve that? If it's impossible to understand, is there any point in trying to understand? Okay, now that we've gotten into all that philosophy and crap, maybe I should talk about this weekly challenge thing. I post a topic, you come up with the stories. The topic was Flash. A bunch of you did. I'm getting into Marc Maron territory, and I bitched about Marc Maron again because on the flight back, I was listening to Marc Maron interview Roseanne Barr, and what did I do? I was in Stitcher, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, oh shit, he's still talking, 30, 30, 30, 30, oh fuck him, 30, 30, 30, oh, whew. Ah, man, now here's the crazy bitch. So, I don't put up with that rambly crap in listening, and yet what am I doing right now? I'm rambling. Which is why I've cut things down over time. And I may edit this out, but I probably won't. That takes effort, and I'm lazy, remember? So we've got stories by Muncie. Jeffrey Fisher is going to be taking a break, but he's sending stories in advance. Good boy. That's why I post the topics early, you know? In case folks want to go, I don't want to miss a thing. I don't want to miss a thing. Then you've got Richard, Tom, Serendipity, Lizzie, Todd Spargo. That name sounds familiar. Anyway, welcome back. Norval Joe, Tura, and Planet Z. Also, I got a comment the other day. Where's Charlie? I don't know. What? You think I actually hang out with these people?
Well, hey, welcome to the 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge Cafe, the Challenger Cafe. We blow up in January.
No, it's just, okay, I hope you're all right, and if you're not feeling well, get well soon, and if you're dead, you know, give me the GPS coordinates of your grave so I can have a drone deliver flowers. But I hope you're all right, and it's good that people are being creative. Maybe he's taking a break and writing a great novel. Or she. I don't know. Robot voices equal. They can do whatever they want. But I hope folks are okay, and wherever they are, they're being creative. Unless, of course, they're a real asshole, then it's like, really? Well, then be creative elsewhere. You know, it changes tone. I mean, I could always have disagreements or arguments. Always. I always have disagreements and arguments. So, yeah, I'm just going to shut up now and let you guys take the microphone. So, here we go with Muncie.
Greetings, Juggalos and Juggalettes, from Muncie, here to help ease you out of the Juggal lifestyle as August comes to an end. And how will I do that? With a story that has nothing at all to do with Juggalos, as it turns out. No Story This Week, by Christopher Monroe. Instead, I'll complain. Barry Allen's basically terrible. I mean, he's the flashiest man alive, but I'm watching season 2 and he's the worst. He goes to Earth 2, immediately gets his own surrogate father killed, travels back in time, reveals himself to Evil Flash, and when other Evil Flash is finally banished to another dimension, he helps return him to this one, for some reason. And he gives up his speed to save Wally in spite of Wally already having been released. What? Why? The hostage has already been released, dummy. Sorry. I get angry when Barry Allen's total trash. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. So the month of August ends, Juggalos and Juggalettes. And now, if you'll excuse me, I'm fleeing the country.
Good morning, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 540 on the topic of Flash. My first story is called Night Hunt. I raised the night vision scope to my eye, aimed, and pulled the trigger. The muzzle flash briefly illuminated the woods. I thought I heard a cry and wondered if my shot had hit its mark, but the woods went quiet again. My prey was stealthy, which always enhanced the enjoyment of the hunt. Moving as quietly as I could, I advanced toward the last sighting and looked around. Nothing. Nothing. Aha! Another quick shot, this one true. The hunt was over. You were a worthy opponent, Mr. Kruger, certainly above average. Now I bid you good night. In the morning, I'll have someone bury your body with the others. And my second story is called Theft Protection. Arthur wondered if he should leave his laptop at his table when he got a coffee refill. He observed an older man leave his computer behind, even when the man left the shop to have a smoke, so Arthur concluded the place was safe. As he stood in line, Arthur saw a kid swoop in and grab the laptop, then disappear in a flash. Frustrated, Arthur asked the older man why he felt so sure that no one would take his machine. "I have theft protection." He turned his screen around. The orange gas plasma display showed a DOS version of Microsoft Word with its monospaced font. A sticker on the keyboard proudly boasted that the computer sported a 386 processor. The kids have no idea what this is. And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Good morning, this is Richard, and I suppose I should give you some stories. The first one is called Flash. If there's one thing that winds me up, it's the proliferation of the selfie. If I had my way, it would be against the law to have any sort of photographic device portable enough to fit inside a mobile phone. In fact, I'd outlaw any camera that didn't require a major exercise in logistics to transport. In my perfect world, cameras would be the sort requiring a man hiding beneath a dark cloth with the scene lit by a large pile of flash powder. Perfect. And with that problem sorted, I could turn my attention to those damned mobiles. And so to my second story, brilliance. Why is it that whenever I get a flash of inspiration, it's never at a convenient time? I worry how many world-changing ideas, fantastic inventions, and inspiring words of wisdom I've had that have been lost forever, thanks to my inability to record them at that crucial moment. I've tried keeping a notepad next to the bed, along with just about every memory trick known to mankind. But when it comes to recalling those critical moments, I fail every time. Then yesterday, I had a brilliant idea for capturing my brilliant ideas. Unfortunately, I've now forgotten what it was. And that's me done. So until next week. Goodbye.
Hello, Night People. Tom here, and I've got a story for you. It's called Flash. Many years ago, while my mother-in-law was still alive, she was on her last litter as a kitten mill. All the Siamese save one had been purchased. He was the last, not because of defects, he was the last because he could disappear at will. He moved so fast, Gail called him Flash. Before you got the door fully open, he was between your legs and out. Same thing on the way in, just a blur. One day, something seriously spooked him. I saw him streak up the hill, across the road, and out the meadow, and he was gone. That's it for this week. Good night, America, wherever you are.
This is Serendipity, and here's my story for this week. The flash from the explosion burned their eyes out, leaving them blind and screaming in agony. That was only the beginning. Within hours, their skin was blistering and coming away in sheets. Their hair was coming out in clumps, whilst teeth began to fall from rotting gums. Nausea, vomiting, and excruciating pain soon followed. Nothing beats a healthy dose of good old-fashioned radiation. I smiled, sealing the box with a tested, quality assured sticker. I reckon they were the best fireworks I'd ever made. And boy, was I looking forward to seeing them on the 4th of July.
Hello everyone, Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. Perched on a tree branch, the model posed dramatically, one hand holding her hair away from her face, the strong wind insisting on contradicting her. The hairdresser went up and down the steps of a ladder frantically, trying to help her. The assistants snickered. The photographer yelled at everybody. When they finished, and everyone was ready to leave, the photographer broke the news. They'd have to redo everything quickly. They were losing the light. Eyes flashed dangerously, and after much deliberation, the photographer ended up on the tree branch, posing dramatically, one hand holding his hair away from his face. And this was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizzygoodcop.blogspot.com and talk to you next Sunday. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
I'm Todd Spargo, and this is my entry to the weekly challenge. Flash. The time node flashed as the time traveler was excreted. She started the countdown timer, powering her exoskeleton, and sprinted toward the event horizon. She had 10 minutes to cover the 2 miles and return for extraction. She hoped the old maps were accurate. Most had been lost in the incident. She rounded the corner and noticed a flash of red as the toy hit the driveway. She diverted, grabbed the toy and placed it in the baby's arms. Giggles replaced anguish as she sprinted off. The node flashed as she drove through. "Status," she yelled. "North American genocide avoided."
Hello, this is Philip Norville Joe Carroll of NorvilleJoe.com and of the Pariah Podcast. And this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 540 with a prompt of Flash. For the next 3 days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, the Pariah Podcast chapter books, books 1 and 2, will be free on KDP and Kindle. So go check it out for free. Here's my story. The woman was only gone for a moment. When she returned, she said, "Okay, I've found a hospital gown, a girl's pinafore, and a pair of smelly sweatpants, all in your size." Mickey pointed a small, hairy monkey finger at the sweatpants. She cut the duct tape, holding his arms to his chest, and threw the sweatpants across him. She turned her back, and in a flash, Mickey was human again.
"What do you want with me?" Mickey asked.
"You don't remember me," she asked. "I'm hurt." In a flash, he recognized her.
"Wanda, the circus master."
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Tura Brazino here with a story on the subject, Flash. In Ormania, there is but one law. All are guilty. Justice is secret, even from the accused. Only punishment is public, enacted by the Society of Flashing Blades. They discreetly, invisibly gather in some public place. On a hidden sign, they draw their swords and brandish them fiercely aloft. It is then death to flee. They dance through the crowd until, at the peak of its terror, one of them is cut down by simple decapitation or the death of 1,000 cuts. Justice has been done, those standing tell each other, for it was done and is therefore just.
Take a trip with me to Planet Z.
Ted took a few too many tackles as a high school quarterback, and he ended up working as a sacker at his father's grocery store. Now and then, he'd unlock the public customer bathroom and expose himself to whoever was in there. Ted would spend some time in jail, get released early as a nonviolent offender, and end up back at the grocery, where he'd expose himself again and keep the cycle going. Eventually, Ted got medication that made him behave, but now he puts bread and chips at the bottom of bags. Customers hate that nonsense a lot worse.
And there you have it, a whole bunch of 100-word stories on the topic of Flash. I hope you enjoyed it, because the next one is going to be on the topic of cast. You can check out more in the archives at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. I'll probably die from tripping over on First Street outside Pike's Market in Seattle and breaking my arm and getting vascular damage and not going to the hospital, and then my blood pressure spikes and I die, unlike Miles O'Brien, who was rescued but lost his arm. You know, every time I trip and it hurts, it sucks. And I'm afraid. I'm afraid when I trip that I'm going to bust something up worse and it won't be fixable. I'll always be in a sling. I'll be some, you know, cripple. Yeah, the fear is there. The fear is there. Don't live your life afraid. Trip all you want. So that's it for this week. I will see you next week. I've already said the topic. You can look it up on the site. I'm not going to repeat myself. Take care, everyone. Be good. You can take a break if you want, Charlie, if you want to, you know, continue being writing elsewhere or not writing at all or being dead or too sick to whatever. Do what you want. And everyone else of you who's taking a break, I hope you're enjoying your time off from this podcast. If you're still listening, go ahead and listen and enjoy. If you're not, hopefully you're filling your time with something other than being in jail, or dead, or sick, or caring for this Hillary versus Trump bullshit. They all suck. They all fucking suck, and Dr. Jill is a crazy wacko. Gary Johnson is a pot-smoking non-libertarian pretending to be. They're all a bunch of fucking fakes. They just want your money. They just want power. They whatever. Blah, blah, blah. It's all bullshit. You know, what would happen if at Hofstra University there were a giant gas leak taking them all out? What would happen then? Will we get, like, another chance? Like, okay, it's time for another round of who the fuck are we going to hate now? Really? And it's Hofstra, right? That would be kind of embarrassing if someone were to wipe out Hofstra with a, you know, I don't know, a fart bomb. And then all of a sudden, oh, what the hell happened over there? Oh, I don't know. The debate's over here. Oh, well. And, as always, keep it brief.